turn the call over to you. And again, just a notation that this call is being recorded. Brad, welcome, and we'd love for you to just give us an overview of how we got to where we are with the energy markets today.
Thank you, Greg. I will provide a brief recap of just that, how we kind of got to where we're at right now in the energy market, talk a little bit about energy stocks, the implications that may be out there for the economy as we go forward, and then address some questions at the end. So as a start, as a recap, the price of oil has been declining since hitting a high of $106 in June of this year. But the fall has steepened markedly over the past 2 months. With oil now trading under $60, this represents a decline of more than 45% in just 6 months. Why has it declined so dramatically? There are many geopolitical factors that have likely played a role in this decline, and several of these are related directly or indirectly to what is the core reason, and that is that supply is exceeding demand right now. World demand for oil is about 92 million barrels a day, and supply typically stays pretty close to this figure. Although various developments over the past 6 months have tilted this equation, and we've seen cuts to actual forecasts for demand as well as estimates for future demand, and at the same time we've seen increases in expectation for production or in actual production. The biggest incremental increase to production that we have seen is in our U.S. shale industry, which has enabled the U.S. to go from a low production figure of about 4 million barrels of oil a day in 2008 to now more than 9 million barrels of oil a day. In the past, one of the biggest factors out there that's helped balance the supply versus demand has been changes in output by OPEC. OPEC met as recently as November 27th, and the market was strongly expecting that they would make a 3% reduction in their output to help balance the market. The producing group, however, failed to agree to any cuts and further made comments that they would be in no hurry to play the role of supporting oil prices through any prospective production cuts. And in fact, what we saw when the markets were closed here in the U.S. for Thanksgiving was a pretty steep decline in other international markets immediately in response to that. So what does that mean for energy stocks going forward?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Energy stocks, if we look at what they make up in the market is represented by the S&P Industry ETF, that ETF has already declined more than 25% from its highs. And several companies have seen declines of 50% or more. In fact, some have seen declines of 70% or more, which begs the question, is this the bottom? Will it rebound quickly? What's going on? That answer depends upon how long oil prices remain depressed. And as it stands right now, it looks like there's very few factors out there that are going to quickly reverse the situation. This exposes companies that have more costly recovery operations and companies that supply the industry companies that have very costly recovery operations to be in a very challenging position. High-quality companies, those that have lower cost reserves, strong balance sheets, and or other parts of their operations that help diversify their business, will be best positioned to weather the storm, but that downturn may last for some time. If we look at how this may translate to, for example, large companies like Exxon, Chevron, Conoco, some of the biggest producers that are headquartered here, these companies may well be strong enough or likely will be strong enough financially and diversified enough that they will weather the storm and outperform many of their peers, but nonetheless they can underperform the overall market. If we look at Exxon specifically, this is a company that has generated positive free cash flow in each year of the last 10 years. And importantly, illustratively, that includes 2008 and 2009. 2008 saw a period for a decline in oil prices that was even more dramatic than what we've witnessed so far. During that year, oil peaked at about $145 in July, and by Christmas time was trading at $35 a barrel. So an even more dramatic decline in a short period of time than what we've seen just most recently in this year. Even in that period, Exxon managed to generate free cash flow, but they did have to respond. In 2009, they cut their CapEx by about 45%, and they also cut their stock buybacks. They maintained their dividend, but cut their stock buybacks. And this produces, again, an environment where companies that are well-positioned can end up outperforming somewhat other peers in their industry, but still may underperform other sectors of the market. So what we were hoping to do as part of this call is not to necessarily recommend exiting all energy positions right now, particularly after we've seen a fair amount of price weakness, but to articulate what may happen still with companies specifically related to the energy industry and give an opportunity to review holdings, particularly in situations where energy holdings are overly large relative to other portfolio assets. Significant overweight positions to particular companies or even an industry may still need to be addressed despite the recent price declines. If we look at whether or not there can still be further weakness in energy stocks from here, it does appear very possible. As we noted, there doesn't look to be any urgency within the industry to balance supply and demand. And in fact, members of OPEC recently commented that they would feel no need to act prior to oil hitting a level of $40 per barrel. Many companies will not be able to economically produce at these low levels. If we look at the shale operations here in the United States, there's a very wide range of reported break-even prices in terms of where these companies can make money at different prices of oil. This ranges anywhere from the $30 level in parts of Texas to more than $90 in the Dakotas. And if we look at other oil-producing operations, such as the Canadian oil sands or offshore markets, these numbers can be even higher. Now, most of these companies have yet to update their financials since the steepest part of this decline. So investor expectations and the true staying power of these companies has yet to be revealed. Mm-hmm. But these revelations could end up dragging the entire industry for the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm.
Because of many companies here in the U.S. and around the world would be challenged to turn a profit with oil prices at this level, we don't think that prices will stay at this level or below for very long periods of time. But in the short term, there is likely more pain that the industry will have to endure.
Brad, let me ask you to comment on this from perhaps two different other perspectives. And one is that back in November, early November, Anibon Basu, the economist, did a presentation for our clients, and he was talking in one section of that about the economic recovery. And it was very, very evident that the only states that were really in the midst of any type of an economic expansion, so to speak, were the states that were really down the middle and center of the country that were really rich in natural resources. And, you know, so as we look at that and think about that, does the sharp decline in the oil prices, and you talked just a second ago about the shale producers, which a lot of those oil producers, domestically are here, is there a potential broader risk to our economic recovery as a nation, or is it just likely to be those states that have been driving the recovery? What could the impacts be of that major factor here?
It can certainly put a dent in economically in certain regions, certain parts of the country. The energy industry has unquestionably been a very prolific source of new jobs in the U.S. And Anibon articulated that very well at our client event in November. And many of these are very good, high-paying positions. As a consequence, what's going on right now, I wouldn't necessarily want to be exposed to something very risky in one of those regions, say building spec homes in Houston. However, if we look at the overall decline in the cost of energy and we look at it as a decline as a key input cost, This can help many other facets of the economy. So there are other sectors that will see some benefit on the cost side, and this may put them in a position where they're able to contemplate hiring moves, as an example, that they may have not been able to consider otherwise. Because so much of the steepness of the decline has happened so recently, we don't know the answers just yet, and we will be watching how these factors play out as it relates to the different regions across the country. But there are certainly factors that can help other parts of the economy benefit from this change in the price of energy.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it sounds like it's definitely a factor of concern, but perhaps not necessarily catastrophic at this point. But let me ask you this then, Brett. Let's talk in the context of the broader market beyond the energy sector. I mean, obviously, you know, I filled up this morning my tank for under $40 for the first time in recent memory, and you know, clearly the perception here is that this has to be good for consumers at some point. What are the areas? You know, is this going to possibly boost consumer spending? Who benefits from this? Are airlines going to benefit once they've hedged their fuel cost, you know, for some period of time? But at some point, they're going to reap the benefits of lower oil prices. I mean, I guess my bottom line question is, who potentially stands to win from this energy price decline?
Well, it's a very good question, and it gets into some of the second order impacts beyond directly the stocks of energy companies. And you know, I will talk also about some other areas that have related risk to this as well. There are other parts of or other markets, say like regional banks and real estate in oil-producing areas. We talked just now about the changes in employment or other economic activity in some of these regions that have seen a tremendous amount of shale activity. And they certainly could see a decline in their business. And in fact, if we look at the markets, there's been some talk about, you know, could there be regional banks in some areas that could be under greater pressure, that have been more aggressive in lending to these operations. High yield is another area of the credit markets, less creditworthy borrowers that have been very aggressive, that have turned to these markets as a source of funds to help expand and explore the shale oil industry. And if we look back in November, early November, we published a piece that talked about the weakness in oil, and that was one of the areas that it could extend to. We've continued to see a lot of weakness in the high-yield market, and particularly for the credits or the bonds issued by energy-related companies in high yield, which is one of the reasons why I think that we're not close to a resolution or a very quick rebound for the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that said, there's a number of other industries and sectors that stand to benefit. And I think as it stands right now, the netting of the impacts certainly don't appear large enough to tip the overall balance for the markets or that for the economy. If we look at spending data as well as consumer and business confidence surveys, those things remain strong as they touch a lot of other sectors out there. Airlines, as you mentioned, have been very strong performers in the face of oil price declines. They have energy as a very big percentage of their cost input, and as that comes down, that's been it typically is very beneficial to their operations. But there's a wide range of other companies that can also benefit. The whole gamut of transportation companies certainly can benefit, but also manufacturing companies and really any other business that is using energy as an input, which is, you know, covers almost everything. So it becomes a matter of what percentage of cost input that is to their overall equation. But I also point out that the decline in this energy input cost also can benefit things on a larger scale. If we look at Europe, Europe is not a big producer. They're a big, fairly large importer of energy. And their economy has certainly slowed down over the past 6 to 8 months through this the balance of this year. And this could be a little bit of a boost that a region like Europe could certainly use. China is another market that is a fairly substantial importer of energy. So if we look at what the impact is on a global basis as well, it doesn't at this stage look to be certainly the overriding negative factor that it may appear as we look at the financial markets just over the past couple of weeks.
Okay, well, helpful insight there. And you know, a couple other key takeaways to just, again, put all this in perspective. One is that we here at OFS are continuing to monitor and watch this for our clients. And as opportunities evolve in terms of strategy and anything that we should be considering, we'll definitely keep you apprised of that as things progress. Again, for those of you that have perhaps more concentrated positions in the energy sector with companies such as ExxonMobil, for example, it sounds like, again, this is something that's going to be very individualized in strategy, and we're going to be very happy to work with you in developing that and monitoring that for you. But you know, Brad, it clearly sounds like with a company like Exxon in particular, that our view and our opinion, while it's certainly not a guarantee and not predictive of future results by any stretch, is that Exxon is very likely and has the potential, that is, to fare better than some of the other companies in the sector, perhaps just not doing great or as well as the rest of the market might be. So another way to look at that is it could, for a period of time, be a bit of a drag on the portfolio in terms of performance, but probably better than most. Is that a fair synopsis of that, Brad?
I think that's a very good synopsis. That just that a company such as Exxon, and again, if we look back to the period in 2008 and 2009, early in that through that cycle, saw that as well, where it could be an outperformer given its diversity and strong financial condition, but could nonetheless underperform the market, and dependent upon one's relative weighting and balance of other assets, it's definitely something that should be reviewed and considered.
Very good. Well, again, what we stand ready to answer any questions that anyone on this call might have about their specific situation. And as we stated earlier, it is important to remember that this is intended for general information purposes, and no specific investment decisions should be made based on the information that we've provided on this call. And again, we do recommend that anyone listens to this call and is interested in LOFS, that you see our disclosure documents at the www.advisorinfo.sec.gov. With that, we're going to conclude this call. Brad, I want to thank you, and I want to thank everyone this afternoon for taking the time to participate and just get a perspective of what we're thinking here, what we're watching. And as stated earlier, we'll follow up with you, or please feel free to reach out to us in any manner regarding the questions that you might have surrounding the call. So that's going to conclude our call this afternoon. Thank you very much.